Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 99.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant at Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Quick. We'd ask our members and our visitors in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Quick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let us, while we recognize the diversity of faiths that is present, let us pray together. Lord God, for the furtherance of your kingdom and for the edification of your people, we humbly bow before you at the commencement of this session in a way akin to King Solomon. For we ask you not for personal glory, nor for houses, riches, and land, but we simply ask God for your presence and for the wisdom to govern according to your will for your people. Use us, God, to get glory for your name and bless whatever ails us or distracts us from pleasing you. It is in the name that is above every other name that we pray, Jesus the Christ, to whom belongs glory, honor, and praise. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for July 22nd has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for July 22nd be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Ratification of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 9, an act to clarify the prohibition of the mutilation of genitals of females under age of 18 years. Senate Bill 301, an act to clarify current statutes of withdrawal of participation in units of regional schools. Senate Bill 320, an act to foster regional cooperation with water and wastewater infrastructure amongst systems utilizing reservoir water. Senate Bill 366, an act to expand academic transition pathway options and to permit enrollment in college courses as part of a college transfer pathway for certain freshman and sophomore high school students, and to require the State Board of Education to include certain individuals as qualified to contract as adjunct instructors with local Board of Education and career and technical education programs. Senate Bill 413, an act to make certain modifications to general statutes in order to facilitate implementation of legislation known as Raise the Age. Senate Bill 498, an act to facilitate rapid response to state declared disasters by exempting certain business and employees from registration and tax laws during the disaster response period. House Bill 724, an act to prohibit the use of misleading telephone identification methods for telephone solicitation by voice or text.
Chapter bills will be noted. Members, on motion of the gentleman from Nash County, Representative Gallier, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the campers at Word Tabernacle Church, Ayana Cooper, Director of Children's Programming at Word Tabernacle Church, where Representative Gallier is the pastor. Would you please stand so we could welcome you? Special messages from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts a report for conference of Senate Bill 366, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to expand academic transition pathway options and to permit enrollment in college courses as part of a college transfer pathway for certain freshman and sophomore high school students, and to require the State Board of Education to include certain individuals as qualified to contract adjunct instructors with local boards of education for career and technical education programs. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate failed to concur with Senate Bill 476, House Committee Substitute, 4th Edition, a bill to be entitled an action to direct the State Board of Education to recommend steps necessary to transition to competency-based assessment and teaching model for all elementary and secondary students in North Carolina, and to require public school units to adopt and to implement the suicide risk referral protocol, a mental health training program, and a policy against teen dating, violence, and abuse. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted.
House Bill 228, Senate Committee Substitute Number 2, 7th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to modernize laws pertaining to the North Carolina Medical Board of the Practice of Medicine for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute Number 2.
Counter for July 24th.
House Bill 391, Senate Committee Substitute Number 2, 6th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to amend various transportation network company laws to create new criminal offenses related to transportation network company drivers for concurrence in Senate Committee Substitute Number 2.
Counter for July 24th.
House Bill 961, Senate Committee Substitute, 2nd Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to provide for certain federal funding for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute.
Counter for July 24th. Calendar, Senate Bill 194, the clerk will read.
The President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 194, a bill to be entitled an act removing the cap on satellite annexation for the town of West Jefferson and the city of Saluda. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approve report July 17, 2019. General Assembly of North Carolina enact.
Gentleman from Watauga, Representative Russell, is recognized to debate the bill on third reading, and the House will come to order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this is the seventh time I've stood to speak to this local bill. I hope it will be the last, and I hope everyone will support it with the great oratory I have provided for it each time. The bill affects satellite annexation for West Jefferson, Saluda, and a small annexation for Yanceyville. I encourage your support.
Further discussion, further debate, not the question before the House. Pastor, Senate Bill 194 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Corbin, Representative Smith, Representative Horn, the members wish to record on the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative and 3 in the negative. Senate Bill 194 passes its third reading.
The Senate will be so notified. Senate Bill 190, Corporal Reed.
Senator McInnes, Senate Bill 190, a bill to be entitled an act to expand authorization for a county to impose a special assessment for dam repair. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Had a good bipartisan vote yesterday and vote green again today.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 190 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative and 3 in the negative. Senate Bill 190 passes its third reading. It's ordered, enrolled, and sent to the governor. Senate Bill 5, the clerk will read.
Senators Brown, Harrington, and Krawick, Senate Bill 5, a bill to be entitled School Safety Omnibus, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
What purpose the lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, rise?
To debate the bill on third reading.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, members, time is not just a commodity, it's also a gift and an opportunity. And since I objected to third reading yesterday, with the intention of offering an amendment today, I had an opportunity to have a great conversation with Representative White. We have talked about my concerns about the trauma kit section of this bill, and I am very comfortable with the plan that she and I have to address my concerns. And for that reason, I'll not be offering the amendment. I plan to vote for the bill and would encourage you to do the same. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 5 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. Senate Bill 5 passes its third reading. Bill is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 863, the clerk will read.
Representative McNeil and Carson Smith, House Bill 863, a bill to be entitled an act to require a candidate and appointee to the office of sheriff to disclose a felony conviction, including expunged convictions. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Pender, Representative Smith, recognize debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In 2010, the North Carolina Constitution was amended to exclude convicted felons from being able to serve as sheriff. This bill does two things that really relate to that amendment. Number one, it clarifies in statutes that an individual who has been convicted of a felony, regardless of an expunction, is ineligible for the office of sheriff. This makes the statutes consistent with the Constitution. The bill also sets up a procedure requiring a candidate or an appointee for the office of sheriff to file a disclosure statement prepared by the Sheriff Standards Commission verifying that they are not a convicted felon. The sheriff's candidate or appointee wouldn't just merely sign saying he's not. They would actually be checked and verified by Sheriff Standards. Just real quick, there were two comments I heard as it was coming through committees. Just wanted to address. Nothing in the juvenile justice system would disqualify somebody from this. If a juvenile got in so much trouble that they had to get kicked up to Superior Court and were convicted of a felony, it would. But nothing as a juvenile in the juvenile system would prohibit them from ever being sheriff. And this would only apply to elections and appointments that take place after this is passed and signed by the governor. I ask members for their support.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson Rice?
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I spoke against this bill and rules yesterday, and I just wanted to share a reason today for my no vote. I was here in 2010 when we put this constitutional amendment on the ballot. And what it was the common phrasing that was used by the Sheriff Association and others who were pushing for us to put this is, if you can't carry a gun, you shouldn't be allowed to be sheriff. Made sense to me. I voted to put it on the ballot. I voted for it on the ballot. I don't think that this situation about an expungement was what we were talking about then. I don't think anybody ever thought about it. And now what we're saying is we are clarifying a constitutional amendment that people of this state put on. And so I have a concern about that. I have a concern about a 16-year-old who gets charged, who under current existing law, who got charged with a felony, would be tried in adult court, and get a conviction. After they turned 18 years old, they could get it expunged. They go off to college. They go to medical school, whatever, make a whole life of themselves, and then one day decide they want to run for sheriff. And then they can't be a sheriff because they had a charge expunged from when they were 16 years of age. I don't think that's the purpose of an expungement. I mean, certainly no charge keeps you from doing that have been expunged is going to keep you from serving in the General Assembly or running for governor or anything of that nature. But we're going to say that an expungement is not good enough for someone to be a duly elected sheriff. Now, you know, these things, people get to vote on. Sheriff's an elected office. I think those folks in that local community should make that choice for themselves. I'm not saying you shouldn't have to disclose an expungement or anything else, but I'm just saying a bright line test that says you can never be sheriff for something you did when you were 16 years old. I'm not sure that's exactly what we're looking for. And in fact, we are raising the age as of December 1st. And so someone who committed a crime, a felony last year, who was 16 years old, will now be treated differently than someone who creates that, commits that same felony next year as a 16-year-old. That seems totally unfair to me. And I know a lot of you are thinking about, well, these are serious felonies. Listen, stealing pine straw is a felony in North Carolina. Okay, there are some really crazy things that have no business being felonies in North Carolina, and they're out there. And I just want to make sure you understand that you're going to say that they can never, ever be sheriff. They can be any other elected office, but never be sheriff. And I just don't think that that was explained in 2010. I've gone back, I've looked at all the things that the Secretary of State put out about the amendment. I've seen what the Sheriff's Association put out about the amendment, and nowhere did it ever say that expungements would be excluded. So I don't think that that's what I meant as a member of this body when I voted to allow the amendment to go forward in 2010. It's not what I meant as a voter of this state when I voted for the amendment in 2010. And that's why I'm against this bill today. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, rise
to debate the bill? The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're not saying this in this bill. It says this in the North Carolina Constitution. And the North Carolina Constitution was amended in 2010 on the ballot. And this is the last sentence that it says in that Constitution. It says, whether or not that person has been restored to the rights of citizenship in the manner prescribed by law. Now, I'm not an attorney. So it seems to me that there was some discussion or some thought during that time period as to the fact that a person might have been convicted of a felony and their rights restored to citizenship. Now, that might not technically be the same thing as an expungement. I would leave that for the legal minds in the room to debate. But I think probably having speaking against this, if you want to change it, you need to go back and change the North Carolina Constitution. I think this really is just clarifying. It's setting up a process. The Constitution says, and whether you want to argue whether or not, the Constitution says if you're a felony conviction, you can't serve in the office of sheriff. That's what our Constitution says. This just sets up a procedure to implement that and say, okay, how are we going to determine whether a person really has a felony conviction that keeps them from running for the office of sheriff? And that's all this bill really does. It sets up that process so that a person that desires to run for the office of sheriff can go through that process, and then it can be decided whether they, by our North Carolina Constitution, can run for the office of sheriff. So I think the people spoke on this. Now, to go back these years later and debate whether the citizens clearly understood whether this included expungement or not, I think it's about 9 years too late to have that debate. So I would appreciate a green vote for this. It is a good bill. It does need to be clarified so that we can decide going forward whether we want sheriffs to be felonies or not.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise?
Thank you to debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
And I think with complete respect to Representative McNeil's points, and I understand his points, I believe that the whole issue is that we're not real sure exactly what the constitutional amendment is saying. What I believe the constitutional amendment is actually referring to is a restoration of rights that were available at that time. For instance, still being able to get your voting rights back, things of that sort. And to say that, look, even if this person has gotten off probation, has gotten the rights restored for all the other purposes, that we would not be allowing them to still serve as sheriff because they would still have a conviction on their record. I think in this particular circumstance, I have to agree with Leader Jackson that it's tough to think that basically, if you get an expungement, and when you really think about it, this will be a limited class of individuals who will be eligible for felony expungements. You know, felony expungements aren't like misdemeanor expungements or a lot of other expungements that you can get that pretty much is just a matter of time and they can go away. Most felonies can't be expunged. So we're talking about mainly the circumstances like Representative Jackson's talking about where you've got somebody that's either done something when they were very young, done something 15 or 20 years ago, done a minor felony, which has been taken off their record, which would allow them to run for most offices. But we're excluding them from being able to run for sheriff. And again, I don't believe that that was necessarily clear with the constitutional amendment. And I think that is actually a matter of interpretation at this point. And so I would just ask you to consider voting against the bill because, again, that to me, that's not clear in the constitutional amendment. I think that the legislature at that time had the opportunity to say specifically that they were addressing expungements and chose not to address expungements. And so therefore, I don't think that was the intent. And so I don't think this is necessarily a clarification, but it's a policy decision. If you decide on policy, that's one thing. But I just don't want anybody voting thinking that they're actually getting a clarification of what that constitutional amendment is saying.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
See if the bill sponsor would answer a question.
The gentleman from Pender, yield. The gentleman from Craven.
I do.
He yields.
Some states seal juvenile records, and you can't get them. So what if a juvenile has a felony, and now his records, he's an adult and his records are sealed? Why would he have to tell you that he had a felony? Because in those states, some of those states that seal it, you're not required to disclose that you had a felony once your records are sealed.
Thank you for the question, and I am probably not the expert, but in the juvenile justice system, you're not found innocent or guilty, you're found delinquent. So anything that would occur in the juvenile justice system would not be a felony conviction, so it would not pertain. If the juvenile had done something bad enough and it went to Superior Court, then they could be convicted of a felony, but usually those are the really bad stuff that it's not the pine straw stuff and the stuff that you probably couldn't get expungement from anyway.
Well, that's fine.
Gentlemen, yield to a further inquiry?
Yes.
You do?
That's how they do it here in North Carolina, but that's not how they do it. They may find them delinquent in North Carolina, but in some other states, juveniles are found guilty of doing it. So how does that affect it? The point is, you can go in the military, you can get secret clearance and all kinds of stuff with a felony on your record that has been sealed, and you're not required to tell even the military that you had it. But you're saying you can't run for a public office here, even if the people wanted you to, because you have something that's... That's what I'm trying to clarify, how this is all going to be. And if we can't answer that, we probably should wait on this bill. And that's...
Let me try to answer that best I can.
Just a moment. The chair sees a few members want to eat lunch. Rule 12D is suspended for the day. The gentleman has the floor.
My non-lawyer brain, I'm going to tell you the way I see it and why I see this as a constitutional issue. The Constitution says if you are convicted of a felony, you cannot serve as sheriff in this state. A general statute on expungement can't magically make that go away. If you're in a court of law and you're convicted of a felony, then you are convicted of a felony. If you go to a hearing and the judge that convicted you is called up on the stand, even though your conviction's been expunged, if you call the presiding judge up on the stand and say, "Judge, did you convict this man of a felony?" he's going to say he did. So a statute, in my opinion, a statute cannot supersede the Constitution. No matter what, he has been convicted of a felony. That's why I see this more of a clarification than anything else.
Now, speak on the bill.
Gentleman's recognized.
It seems to me that there's still enough confusion for a bill that's supposed to be clarifying something that there still leaves enough to be confused. There's a difference between expunction and your records being sealed. Again, North Carolina, you know, we've got enough people coming from other states through North Carolina that live here that their records, the systems, everything's different in some of the other states. And I have a problem. I too have a problem with juveniles having done something and then having to pay for it the rest of their life if their records were sealed, if it was expunged. We wouldn't need to have this bill if the Constitution was clear. And so that's the argument, is the Constitution is clear on it, and this is just getting statutes up to it. I don't think the Constitution really is clear on it, or we wouldn't need to do this bill. And so my thought is, let's not do this bill until we've had a better chance to look at it and had more debate, more discussion, and more constitutional questions answered, instead of passing something that may affect somebody's life, because, again, there are other states, once you turn 17 or 18, your records are sealed. And you are not obligated to tell anybody about anything that you've done that are in those sealed records. And the government can't access them, they're sealed. So I would suggest that we just hold off on this and do a little bit more work on it and look into the issue, because it's not as clear-cut as it appears to be.
For what purpose, Chairman from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise.
Speak a second time.
Chairman has four.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank you, Representative Speciale, for raising that point. I forgot to make that point earlier. That's one of the big faults with this bill, and it's the same way with our expungement laws and raised age in general, in that a child of 16 years of age who commits a felony in North Carolina will never be allowed to be sheriff. But a child of 16 years of age who commits the same felony in California, who gets it expunged and moves to North Carolina to go to college, will be able to do everything. Because we'll be just checking to see expungements in North Carolina. We can't check California expungements. We don't have access to their databases and all those things, their juvenile records. And so we'll be treating people from North Carolina worse than we're treating other people. That's one of the things that we've argued about raising the age of juvenile jurisdiction in the past, is because we're so out of sorts with the rest of the country that our children were at a disadvantage. Some people didn't like the pine straw example I give, so I'll give you a real-world example where a lot of 16- and 17-year-olds get felonies. That's with drugs. And what happens is, undoubtedly, you come into court with a clean record, and you've got, a bit of cocaine or something that's a felony. They give you a choice. They'll reduce it to a misdemeanor and let you pay a fine and walk out of there, or they'll let you do a deferral agreement on the felony. And so a lot of 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds, they do what my 16 and 17-year-olds did. They put things off to the last minute. They don't do their community service. They didn't finish everything, and they end up with a felony conviction. That happens every day in court. And so one of the things I tell people when they come to me and they say, can you get me out of this? I say, do you want to do the referral program? Yeah, I want to do the referral program. Are you going to do it? Because if you're not, you're better off just take the misdemeanor. It's easier to get it expunged later. It won't have you won't have the problems finding jobs, getting into college. And they'll say, no, I'm going to do the deferral program. I'm going to do the community service. Then they don't do it and they end up with a felony conviction. So it's not just a pine straw case. I gave that example to give you a reason. The final thing I want to say, or next is, we can't clarify the Constitution. The Constitution says what the Constitution says. And if it allows for felons to run for office, then it allows for felons to run for sheriff if they've been expunged. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. We're adding an additional requirement in statute. We can't clarify the Constitution. Only the courts can do that. And so we're adding this additional requirement. If you think the Constitution already says expungements don't count, then you don't have to take any action because that's what the Constitution says. And as soon as the court makes that finding, you don't have to take any further action. We're doing this because we're not sure what the courts will do with that particular constitutional amendment that we passed. That's why we're doing this. We're not clarifying anything. We don't have the power to clarify a constitutional amendment. And I just don't think we have thought about all the ways we're putting people at a disadvantage who have done something 20, 30 years ago. Representative Speciale said something about the military. You know, a lot of people who do something crazy in their youth, they end up in the military. And then they end up serving and becoming officers in the military and distinguished careers. And then they tell them when they get out, they can't be a sheriff. They've served our country. Maybe they've been a captain, a lieutenant, maybe even a general in our armed forces, but then they can't run for sheriff because of something they did when they were 16 years old that's been expunged. I just don't think that's right, and I'd ask you to vote against the bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Rutherford, Representative Rogers, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
I'm not speaking for or against it. I'm just pointing out some interesting comments. Representative Speciale raised the question of a juvenile, and I thought to myself, well, that raises an interesting question because the statute says convicted of a felony, and I heard that a juvenile would not count because they're adjudicated delinquent. But to be determined to be delinquent, the court has to find that you have committed a crime. And if that crime is a felony, then you're convicted of a felony to be determined to be delinquent. But then you can go into, is a juvenile that's determined to be delinquent, is that person guilty? Because they don't really call it guilty. They call it a status delinquent. So, boy, that raises just a ton of questions. But the bottom line is I do see a problem with a juvenile being found guilty or convicted or found to be delinquent of a felony and never being able to run for sheriff, even if it's expunged, as we, you know, are making easy now. It's just, and once again, I'm not speaking for or against it. It's just, boy, there's a ton of questions and like a bunch of rabbit holes you can go down with this. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Iowa, Representative Shepherd, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To ask the sponsor of the bill a question.
Gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
Representative Smith, I want to ask you, who makes the ultimate determination in this? Is it the State Board of Elections that's going to compile all this information that the person that's going to file and run gives them, and they're going to make a determination from that, or is it just blanketly saying that if you've had an expungement that was a felony in the past, you cannot run for sheriff? So,
right now, the only requirement when somebody files for office is to sign the paperwork saying you're not a felon. The question, if this bill passes, then the sheriff's candidate would have to sign that he has not been convicted of a felony or had a felony conviction expunged.
Follow-up.
Gentleman, yield to an additional question.
So if he signs that, fills the information out, then there's another decision made, or does that disqualify him just because he says I've been expunged of a felony, whatever time that was, as a youthful offender or whatever? I mean, does the State Board of Elections have any thing to say about this once he fills all the paperwork out and so forth?
They just collect the paperwork that's filled out by the candidate right now.
Okay.
This would have to be.
So the bill is.
Representative Shepherd, does the gentleman have additional question?
Yes.
And Representative Smith, do you yield?
So basically then, Representative Smith, this is saying that they cannot run for sheriff if they've had an expungement or of a felony, right?
Correct. This would, in my opinion, does not do anything to clarify the Constitution. This brings the statutes in line with the Constitution.
And follow up. So that means no matter what that felony was?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, to debate the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I can't speak for my other colleagues, but I'm a firm believer of expungement. And there's been many discussions, a lot of discussion made here today. So I would just like to make a motion that this bill be referred to rules.
So the gentleman is asking to be recognized for a motion. The gentleman, the chair will recognize the motion. The gentleman has moved that the bill be re-referred to Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representative Pierce, is this to debate the gentleman's motion, or is this to debate the bill?
Bill, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. To speak to the motion, Representative Smith, does the gentleman wish to debate the motion to re-refer the gentleman's bill? The gentleman is recognized.
Again, it's clear to me. The Constitution is clear to me. We're just trying to make the statutes align with the Constitution. If we don't pass this today, you may have to change the Constitution to align with the statutes if the people of the state will do that. I ask you to vote no.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Gaston, Representative Bumgarner Rice?
To speak on the motion.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We've heard this already in judiciary and rules, and I don't know. I mean, it would be okay with me personally, Representative Floyd, but I don't think we'll solve this issue by sending this back to rules. I think we should have an up or down vote on it right now. Just my two cents.
Representative Pierce, the gentleman wish to debate the motion or reserve a debate if the bill stays on the calendar?
Yeah.
The gentleman's recognized.
I needed to ask the bill sponsor a question.
Well, Representative Smith, yield.
Is that appropriate? What is the genesis of this bill? Did something happen in an election? What is the genesis of the bill?
I would suspect in the main genesis was the last election. We indeed did have the first felon run for sheriff in the last sheriff's election since the Constitution was changed. His charge had been expunged. We thought it was clear he couldn't run. He continued to run. Before it was challenged in the court, he was beaten the primary, so nothing came of it after that. Figured this would be a great time to clarify the statutes.
Another question, Mr. Speaker.
Gentlemen, you?
I do.
He yields.
Another member, excuse me.
Oh, another member.
I apologize to you. Representative Jackson, Leader Jackson.
Representative Jackson, gentlemen, yield.
Yes, sir.
Same question, Mr. Representative Jackson. What's the genesis of this?
This all came up, as you might remember, in 2010. There was a sheriff, I believe he was in Davidson County, that was removed for obstruction of justice and some other things. He attempted to run in the primary in 2010. And lost, I believe that particular year we had five felons who ran for office. He lost, and so we put this amendment on the Constitution on the ballot that year. My understanding is the sheriff from Davidson County then, after some years passed, went in, got his charge expunged, and then filed in 2018 to run, and this issue came up in his race before he lost in the primary.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Is this to debate, or do you have another question for another member?
Comment.
Gentleman's recognized to debate. We are debating the motion to re-refer at this time. The gentleman's
right,
recognized.
Mr. Speaker, in hearing what I've heard and in talking to my sheriffs, and I think many of us have high regards for our sheriffs in our districts, I'm at a loss and confusion on it myself, and I'm going to have to support the Floyd amendment to we need to have some more conversation, because I really want to hear what my sheriff has to say, because he is really for this bill, and all of us, like I said, have great respect for our sheriffs and the sheriff's association. So I just want to get more clarity on it myself. So thank you for just allowing me to make that statement. Thank
sure.
you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale Rice?
Speak on the motion.
Gentleman has for debate the motion.
This is a good motion because we're sitting here with more questions then we have answers on this, and I do think that we need to send it back, and if nothing gets accomplished in rules, well, that's better than accomplishing something that we may regret later. So if I went down to the Board of Elections and I said I want to file to run for district court judge, they're going to ask me if I'm an attorney, and I'm going to have to say no. They're going to say, well, then you are not eligible to file for this office. Okay. That's how it works. So if they allowed that gentleman to file for office, then apparently the Constitution is not as clear as the proponents of this bill are claiming that it is. And again, if it were, we wouldn't need this bill. It just raises too many questions. So I think that we need to send this thing back to rules and make sure that we do our homework on this before we end up like we have on some other bills where we had to jump through the hoop to fix it later because we saw repercussions that we didn't see when we passed the bill in a hurry.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, question before the House is the motion to re-refer House Bill 863 to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Ball, Brewer, Insco, members wish to record. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 62 haven't voted in the affirmative, 52 in the negative. The bill is re-referred. The Committee on Rules, Counter, and Operations of the House. Senate Bill 123. Clerk will read.
Senator Sanderson, Senate Bill 123, a bill to be entitled an act to revise the geographically isolated schools formula regarding the allocation of teachers to Currituck County and increase the transportation efficiency budget rating to Currituck County schools to require the State Board of Education to develop draft policies and procedures for auditing public school attendance and membership data. General Assembly of North Carolina.
The gentleman from Currituck, Representative Hanning, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, the good news is this is not a constitutional amendment, nothing crazy. You don't really have to pay attention to me. Just hit the green button when you're instructed to do so. Okay. It's a three-part bill. The first part deals with Knott's Island as an isolated school, changing some wording from National Forest to National Wildlife Refuge. The second part allows 5 points to the bus efficiency rating, mostly because geography. And the third part is a study bill for accuracy in counting ADM statewide. And I stand for any questions, and the great folks of Currituck County appreciate your green vote today.
Gentleman from Macon, Representative Corbin, recognize, debate the bill.
Debate the bill, thank you, sir. 2 years ago, I wrote a bill almost identical to this to address geographically isolated schools in the mountains. And I just wanted to say, Representative Hannig came to me for help, and I signed on as a sponsor. Just say that they have geographic barriers of water like we have geographic barriers of mountains, and I would encourage you to vote yes on this bill.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House, passage of Senate Bill 123 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. Senate Bill 123 passed the second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 123 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 123, having passed third reading, will be returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 321. Clerk will read.
Senator Alexander, Senate Bill 321, a bill to be entitled an act to implement requirements for Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's Performance and Registration Information System Management Program. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 105 is needed so the Highway Patrol Motor Carrier Unit can become compliant with federal regulations. If North Carolina does not become compliant before 2020, the patrol has potential to lose over $10 million in federal funding, and which supports currently filled the patrol positions. This bill is sponsored by the patrol, the Truckers Association, and DMV.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 321 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Cunningham, would you like to vote? Clerk will light machine record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. Senate Bill 321 passed the second reading, and it will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly will not claim any acts.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 321 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 321, having passed third reading, will be returned to the Senate. Notices and announcements. What purpose, lady from Davie, Representative Howard, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Finance Committee will meet in the morning at 9 a.m. in room 544.
Gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sain, recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Full appropriations will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., room 643. The bills will be House Bill 305, House Bill 372, and House Bill 231. And, of course, a notice will go out. Thank you.
Gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, especially members of the Judiciary Committee, will meet tomorrow at 10 o'clock a.m. in room 544. We hear two bills. Senate Bill 315, which is the North Carolina Farm Act. Senate Bill 682, which is Implement Crime Victim Rights Amendment, known as Marcy's Law. Thank you.
Gentleman from Henderson, Representative McGrady, recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a reminder for those on the ABC committee, we have a meeting this afternoon in room 1227. It starts at 3.
For what purpose does the lady from Pitt, Representative Smith, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Ladies recognized.
I would like to take this opportunity to say congratulations to Ms. Bernita Demery. Yesterday she was sworn in to the CPA examiners, North Carolina State CPA examiners, and she is the first black female CPA to be appointed to that board by the governor. So I wanted to take this time to say congratulations to her, and we're still doing great things in Pitt County. Thank you.
Thank you. What purpose, gentleman from Copeland? Representative Floyd, rise.
Mr. Speaker, I wanted to see if the rules chair would be so kind to yield for a question.
Representative Lewis, gentleman yield.
Yes, sir.
Yields.
Mr. Chair, I had opportunity to read your email that rules will meet at 2 o'clock. It is 2 o'clock now. Can you be so graceful as to push that back a little bit to help us seniors?
Representative Floyd, you know I talk pretty slow, so if I start at 2, it'll probably be 2:05 or so before we get going. I can have somebody go get you a sandwich if that'll help speed things up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
For what purpose, gentleman from Scotland, Representative Pierce, rise?
To ask the Chairman Sain a question, please.
Representative Sain, gentleman yield?
I yield.
Yields.
Chairman Sain, I know I can't find those bills, but could you give me the name of those bills? I know you said the numbers, but what are the...
I don't have those, I'll be glad to repeat those for you.
Follow up, then, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman yield?
Yes, sir.
I yield.
Go ahead.
Yes, House Bill 305, House Bill 372, and House Bill 231.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker.
What purpose, gentlemen, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentlemen's recognized.
Or for a moment of clarity. If you look at your calendar that's on your desk, those bills are, and the bill titles are on the calendar for today. So, thank you.
And Representative Floyd, there were committee substitutes that were passed out of the Education University Committee today on those bills. They haven't been read in yet. The chair is just not in possession of those committee reports, and they'll be coming in after we adjourn at some point, and the referrals for those bills will be modified so that it goes to appropriations next. What purpose, General Scotland? Representative Pierce, rise.
Were you talking to me?
I was talking to Representative Floyd.
They said you were looking at me, calling me Floyd. I was like, wait a minute.
I think there? Floyd's the guy just a little bit past you right there.
Mr. Speaker.
I'm not sure where this is going. For what purpose does the gentleman rise?
Mr. Speaker, I just want to know if Representative Pierce yield for a question, please.
I don't know if he knows who he is, but we'll see if he yields.
Go ahead, Mr. Speaker.
He yields.
Representative Pierce, there's a great distinction between the two of you. I'm Floyd, and you are Pierce, so we need to keep that distinction, please.
The chair will note that. Any further notices or announcements? Seeing not, gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, July 24th at 1 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Floyd, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, July 24th at 1 p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.
Representative Fraley and Hastings are recognized to send forth the Education University's Committee Report, House Bill 231, the Harrison-Quack Act, favorable committee sub, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred. House Bill 231, the original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar, where as for the committee substitute, the SEER referral to judiciary is stricken, as well as the SEER referral to rules, the bill is re-referred to the Committee on Appropriations, and a SEER referral to the Committee on Rules is added. House Bill 305, amend law regarding university discipline, favorable committee sub, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred the original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute, the SEER referral to judiciary is stricken, as well as the SEER referral to rules, the bill is re-referred to the Committee on Appropriation, and a SEER referral to the Committee on Rules is added. House Bill 372, additional funds, ECU, Brody School of Medicine, favorable committee sub, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred. Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar. Whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 372, SEER referral to appropriations education and to the Committee on Rules is stricken. The bill is re-referred to appropriations. SEER referral to rules is added. Special message from the Senate. Senate Chamber, July 23rd, 2019. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 194, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act removing the cap on satellite annexations for the town of West Jefferson and the city of Saluda. When the appropriate actions are taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That message is noted. Representative Lewis is recognized to send forth a Rules Calendar and Operations of the House Committee Report, Senate Bill 61, Handicapped and Various Other License Plates, favorable, Senate Bill 61, Calendar 36B, Senate Bill 68, Relocation of Water Sewer Line Costs, favorable, House Committee Sub, unfavorable, original bill. Original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 68, Calendar 36B. House Bill 736, Elective Shared Joint Accounts, favorable committee sub number 2, unfavorable committee sub number 1, committee sub number 1, unfavorable calendar, committee sub number 2 for House Bill 736, calendar 36B for the 24th, Wednesday the 24th. House Bill 784, Traffic Control Training Program, favorable committee sub number 2, unfavorable committee sub number 1, committee sub number 1, placed on the unfavorable calendar, committee substitute number 2 for House Bill 784, calendar 36B for Wednesday the 24th. Senate Bill 199, Child Sex Abuse Strengthened Laws, favorable House Committee Sub Number 2, unfavorable House Committee Sub Number 1, House Committee Sub Number 1 placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee Sub Number 2 for Senate Bill 191, Calendar 36B. And Senate Bill 522, Low Performing Schools, favorable House Committee Sub Number 2, unfavorable House Committee Sub Number 1, House Committee Sub Number 1 placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee Sub Number 2 for Senate Bill 522, Calendar 36B for Wednesday the 24th.